Following podcasts may contain themes of an adult or horrific nature when featured within an attraction. It may contain adult language and is not intended for people below the age of 18. Listeners of a sensitive nature should turn off now. All opinions and views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of ScareTrack, ScareTour, or any of our associates. Now, let's begin the show.
You're listening to ScareTrack, the UK's first scare attraction podcast in association with ScareTalk. Now, please welcome your hosts, Mikey, Sean, and Hannah.
Hello, and welcome to episode 22 of the ScareTrack podcast. This episode is all about out-of-season scares. We discuss the attractions we have visited over the years, the increasingly popular escape games, other seasons used for scare attractions, as well as on-location audio from our visit to Twisted Attractions Terror Park with their brand new attractions Dr. Hades Fear Theatre and Coulrophobia. My name's Mikey, and today I'm in the studio with Sean. Sean, how's it going, buddy?
Woo, I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Tired. We're working a lot, not getting a lot of days off. But other than that, we are alive and kicking. How you been? You good?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty tired too. I've been working on the candles. October candles.
Official sponsor of ScareTrack.
Basically, what we're doing is we're completely like reimagining the candles and the logos and the labels in time for Halloween. Obviously, it's a couple of months away, but we are getting there. We are also kind of, just reimagining them and the scents and the smells, making like taking on board suggestions, as well as coming up with new scents, which we're really excited to get out.
Awesome, sweet. I can't wait to try some. We've got a couple of, actually, I think we've got three October candles on display at the minute, so I can't wait to get them lit up and smelling the house out. We've also got Hannah in the studio today. Hannah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I don't have anything quite as exciting as what Sean said, but I'm doing well.
Doing good.
Awesome. That's exciting, Hannah.
Awesome. So like I say, this is episode 22. We're lucky enough to have interviews with the guys at Twisted Attractions, so that'll be our main feature of the show, as well as discussing the ever more popular out-of-season scare attractions. Scares are not just for Halloween, and I think here in the UK we're the sort of pioneers of having scares all year round. It would appear so anyway. So we can have some discussion of that in our main feature section. But for now, it's time to get on to the UK scare attraction news and rumours.
The UK scare attraction news and rumours.
Derren Brown's Ghost Train is now open. Woo!
Yay!
Well, it's partly open. It's currently running technical rehearsals as of today, which is the 6th of July. Obviously, this goes out on the 13th. But as of today, officially open with technical rehearsals. So hopefully by the time the show goes out and our awesome listeners are listening to it, hopefully it'll be officially open. Sean, Hannah, I know we don't talk too much about the news, like we like to have just little bullet points for the listeners, but wow, I'm excited.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I watched a vlog on YouTube. Was it yesterday?
It was Sean Sandbrook's vlog from Theme Park Worldwide yesterday.
I wasn't going to give him a plug. Little plug. I watched that yesterday, and it is full of spoilers, so if you want to watch it and you don't want spoilers, then don't watch it. But it's just made me so excited.
See, I don't want to watch it because I don't like spoilers. I just want to experience the attraction. But I was saying to you, Mikey, before we started recording, I really want to do it during the technical rehearsals, because knowing like previous, you know, mazes and all that, sometimes they change when they open to the public. Like, they obviously get the feedback from the people that go through the rehearsals period. And you'll always get the one mother that goes on, "Oh, it's too scary." And they'll be like, "Okay, well, we'll change it for you, just you, you know." So I was saying I really, really wanted to get on the ghost train before it like opens to general public, and isn't kind of limited spaces. But I've lost my Merlin pass and I don't know where it's gone.
Oh no. That's kind of sucky.
Yeah.
But is Thorpe your like home park? Because if you go in, I'm sure they'll be able to get a new one.
Yeah, it's my home park, so, and it's easy enough to get a new one. Awesome. So
then get a new one.
Get a new one.
I will, but...
See, we wanted to travel around at some point this week, but with it only being technical rehearsals, it's about 3 hours away from us. So it might open, it might not, it might have issues. We're going to wait until it's completely fully open, make sure we have a full day off, and get down there and ride it. But if any of our listeners have already ridden the... Darren Brown's ghost train at Thorpe Park, let us know what you thought. Try and keep it spoiler free, because we won't give away any spoilers on the show as well.
But exactly.
Yeah, listener feedback, just hang around to the end of the show to listen for details.
The one thing I'm really interested in is the fact that people are saying it's like one of a kind, it's the first of anything, like it's just a totally different experience. Yeah. I want to see how true that is. And I know there's a couple of people that said, no wonder Disney and Universal are coming down to Staines to see what it, like, the hype's all about.
Yeah, I'm hoping it really does live up to it.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this is a beginning of something new.
This could be the start with Merlin. Of something new.
Oh my God, is that High School
No.
God.
It's okay, we only sung like 3 seconds of it, so we don't have to pay any royalties.
It doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Oh my God, so work.
Right, but seriously, let's get ahead in the game.
Okay, we could do that, yeah, okay, sorry. Okay.
We got to work this out, and we can bop to the top. So, let's carry on with the news, Hannah.
Huge news for the Twisted Attractions team. Not only are they currently running two attractions right now, but they'll also be back for Halloween with their returning terror park, Hellfest, in Birmingham, plus a brand new for 2016 Twisted Attractions Terror Farm. Twisted Attractions have teamed up with the LDF Entertainment Hub to create a second park that will be running on selected nights throughout October at Lower Drayton Farm in Pinkridge.
Ooh, exciting. I know,
I'm so excited
for
this. Two parks.
Two Twisted Parks. How exciting. I can't... Do you know what? This year, obviously, I'm not going to Florida anymore.
Boo.
Which is boo. So I am going to make an extra effort to be travelling along with Michael Bolton and the rest of his Scare Tour gang.
Up the north.
Yes, I'm going to hopefully be on... We were all joking, saying how we need to get a camper van and go round like all the different attractions this Halloween.
Yeah, sweet.
But yeah... This is Twisted. I'm coming for you this October. Woo! Anyway, in other news, Dr. Frights have announced a double feature attraction running two mazes back-to-back at this year's Dr. Frights Halloween night. Both the Tribe and the Slaughterhouse Rocks will be part of this year's lineup.
Screamfest Burton have announced a brand new attraction for 2016. Love Hurts will replace Nocturnal at this year's Halloween event.
Tickets are now available for the returning 2.8 hours later. You can book at www.undeadescapes.co.uk.
Edinburgh Dungeon have released a new show arriving this summer. The Wicked Woman are coming to the dungeon soon.
Thorpe Park have announced a brand new attraction for their Fright Nights event this Halloween. Platform 15 is where guests will depart on a one-way ticket trek along an overgrown railway line. Sounds intriguing. But it's weird because they're having another attraction that isn't Lionsgate.
Mm.
How do you feel about that, Sean?
I see Lionsgate kind of ditching out of Thorpe Park, you know. We say it every year, don't we? Like, will they, won't they be back this year? But I think probably next year, I think something's going to change.
Maybe. Because, I mean, they've already got... I mean, they've got... What have they got now? Obviously, the Big Top was new last year, which wasn't Lionsgate, and then Containment, which wasn't Lionsgate.
Yeah, I was going to...
And now they've got Platform 15 that isn't Lionsgate. The only Lionsgate maze they're going to have is Saw, their return.
Cabin.
Yes.
Cabin in the Woods, I'm guessing, is still coming back. I've heard that My Bloody Valentine isn't.
But Blair Witch is.
Yeah,
but
I've
Blair
heard
Witch
that.
Is.
Which so, to me is the wrong okay. way.
Yeah, yeah, I'd scrap Blair Witch and keep My Bloody Valentine. But last year, unfortunately, we don't like to be negative on the show, but My Bloody Valentine, was. It felt like half the size.
It was half the size.
Yeah, it wasn't. I know a complete container was missing, so...
Oh,
yeah,
right, really,
it
was
wasn't.
It?
Don't get me wrong, you know, Thought Park Fright Night still leaders in the business, but it just wasn't quite up to scratch last year.
I think that's the general. I mean, I don't want to be too much of a downer on this, but Thought Park's never really lived up to creating immersive Halloween nights.
I don't know.
Would I be wrong saying that? I mean, their attractions are good, but in terms of a park in general,
yeah,
for Halloween, it's never lived up to what they've said.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, like the roaming actors are a little bit hit and miss sometimes, and the theming around park is sometimes non-existent compared to other Scream parks. So I can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my view on a general, you know, what is meant to be it's a professional theme park, it's Merlin, yeah. So it's just my view on a professional theme park, how, you know, you get the likes of Twisted that are just set up by individual people that can, you know,
independence, yeah,
create these amazing things on a low budget. Why can't Merlin, you know, do that?
As we get closer to Halloween, the news will be flooding in daily, and if we do miss anything, we can only apologise. If you are an attraction owner, please feel free to contact us direct with any information you would like on the show. Or if you're a general listener and fan and want up-to-date daily news, head over to our Facebook and like our Facebook page, ScareTrack, along with our partner associates, ScareTour. Michael at ScareTour provides not only fantastic reviews of scare attractions around the UK and indeed Europe now, but it's the one-stop shop for the most up-to-date news, and he also gets near enough every single exclusive regarding scare attractions. So if you want up-to-date news daily on this crazy business we're in, make sure you like the ScareTour Facebook page. So let's get on to our feature section. So this feature section is going to be slightly different to any others. We are not going to discuss the scars. We're not going to be interviewing anyone as such on the actual show live. We are going to be discussing out-of-season scares. So I've literally got no show notes or anything here. It's just a 10 to 15 minute chat between ourselves on out-of-season scares. So I think when we say out-of-season scares, what we mean is basically scare attractions or pop-up attractions, mazes, things like that that aren't operating just for Halloween. So there may be a Valentine's maze at Scare Kingdom, or there may be a full year-round maze like Passage del Terror at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, or Scream, which is now defunct at Madame Tussauds. Joker, who is sort of like the main pioneers of scare attractions or haunted houses. I know we have a fair few American listeners now, so if I am wrong, please let me know. But we were chatting to the guys from The Houses October Built, the feature film from last year. I know in England they changed it to The Houses Halloween Built, but they said that in America it's very Halloween based. There's scare attractions, haunted houses at Halloween, and that's about it. So in the UK, we do things a little differently. We obviously have them mainly at Halloween, but there's lots of places now that do out-of-season scares. So the first thing I think about out-of-season scares would be Passage del Terror. Hannah, would you agree with that or disagree?
Well, agree that it's the first that you think of.
Well, no, is it the first thing that you think of when I say sort of out-of-season scares?
No, for me it's more the dungeons that I think of.
Okay, good shout.
But I think that's because that's more sort of, you know, Passage del Terror, although it's a great scare, it's in Blackpool, whereas dungeons, you've got Blackpool, you've got London, you've got York, you've got Edinburgh, so there's more of them. So I think of it more because I've been to more of them. Does that make sense?
That's understandable. Do you agree with that,
yeah,
Sean?
I would say, and also it's educational.
Yes, whereas, good point. In fairness, that's probably a good point. as in the sort of dungeon brand, the Merlin owned brand. I know there's loads of dungeons now. There's obviously a fair few in the UK. There's obviously Amsterdam, Berlin, San Francisco. So there's a lot of dungeons now, and they have all created sort of a new sort of brand image over the last few years of fear is a funny thing. Yeah. And they've aimed it slightly more at the family market. And I, although it's not a scare maze, it's not an impact scare, it's not something extremely terrifying, I think we would all still class it as a type of scare attraction. Yeah. And again, like I say, we've got we'll probably be thinking about UK scares and American scares in this, and sort of the juxtaposition between them. But to again our American listeners out there, what do you think to the dungeons? Let us know. It's obviously something that we've had here for quite a while, and they're quite new over there. So, yeah, educationally scary as well, like you say, Sean. Along with things like London Bridge Experience and London Tombs, you've been through them a fair few times, haven't
you? Yeah, I've been through quite a couple of times. I went recently, actually, for one of their late night events.
Okay.
And it's I just love it. It's one of those quirky ones that, you know, I always forget about the tombs. I don't know why. I know that's really bad. But the tombs are genuinely so good, because I know Andy, Cookie Rawlings, he's heavily involved with the tombs. And I remember speaking to him once and about how much, you know, freedom he gets as not only a scare actor, but like team leader.
I think he's part of the management
the thing
team
like
now. Yeah, I might be wrong.
I think he is. But he was saying how heavily involved he was as an actor as well as a manager, and a lot of his original ideas were actually put into this event that I went to. So unlike, you know, like the London Dungeons, the London Tombs can work to someone else's needs or someone else's creation, you know.
Yes, absolutely. There's that whole sort of slightly more, what's the word? Slightly less regimented.
Yeah, more freedom, which I feel is better.
Yes, I agree. Because with the London Dungeons or Amsterdam Dungeons, it's the same script, the same show. If you went three times of the day, it would 9 times out of 10 be exactly the same. And there's nothing wrong with that, because what we've said for years and years, not just the last 12 months on the podcast, that the issue with scare attractions is consistency. You can go through Subterra, Orton Towers, and have the best, amazing experience of your life. Or you could go through and, you know, accidentally miss a couple of actors or not get sent through the rabbit run again. And it could be a still amazing, but not quite as good as your first time or quite as good as your next time. So
you're talking about Subterra.
Sorry, Subspecies.
I was going to say.
Another Nemesis themed attraction. other parks are available. But it's so consistency is good, but not if it can get stale. And sometimes I suppose they can if the same show is there for so long. And which is why I like it when we go to the London Bridge Experience. We probably go once every year, once every year or two, because obviously we're quite far away and it's getting time off to get down to London. But it seems different every time.
Yeah.
But it's always progressing, it's always improving, and that's what I like about it. It's also something which lends itself to out-of-season scares, because it's open however many hundred days of the year, it can change, it can grow, it can progress probably easier than it can if you were a seasonal event.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, in a nutshell, London Bridge Experience is, I kind of want to say, do you know what? I can't put my finger on it, but
It's good.
I'm trying to say, like, it's free, you know, like what we were, been saying, but I'm trying to think of something better to say, but my mind is blank.
I know what you mean. It's more, there's, especially in the tombs area, I think it's less regimented. You don't have your one space where you jump out at each other and then reset like certain mazes do in the UK. Not so much as American mazes. I know at Halloween Horror Nights it's very jump scare, yeah, reset, jump scare, reset, as opposed to something like Busch Gardens in the USA, where it's a little bit more free. Probably more similar to Halloween Horror Nights at Europa Park in Germany.
Sure.
Which you could probably say is similar to maybe Dr. Fright's in the UK, on a slightly different sort of level. But the way it's sort of, the actors work the space, I'd say it's probably quite similar. Yeah. Organised chaos, I think the word.
Organised chaos, that sounds about right. Well, going back to your theme parks, Mikey, Saw at Thorpe Park. Now, for our American listeners and for our regular listeners here in the UK, I've been in Saw Alive, which came to Thorpe Park back in, I want to say like 2009, but don't quote me, or
2010. Because the Eurofighter coaster saw the ride open 2009 and then the maze open 2010. I think I'm pretty certain. I'll probably get a load of people tell me I'm wrong now, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Well, no, but this was a first for a theme park to bring a live action kind of maze,
to bring it full time. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I mean. Which was something obviously different and unique, but unfortunately it only lasted about a year, where I don't know what happened, but for whatever reason they just decided that it was going to become a seasonal event.
And that's a huge shame, obviously, that it sort of goes against what we're talking about on this show, doesn't it? It's turned into a seasonal attraction. I loved it. The theming in there is amazing. We were lucky enough when we went to a ScareCon in 2015 at Thorpe Park. We were lucky enough to have a behind-the-scenes lights on tour, and you don't realise how amazing the theming is on that boat. No. And it is on a boat. It's all floating, which some people don't realise. It's really good, and it was actually my first ever scare attraction. Which is why I mentioned a little bit earlier that Pascal Saltara and Scream at Madame Tussauds. I know those sort of three, for people who are in the industry now, or sort of slowly coming into it, I think when I say, what was your first maze, a lot of people will go Pascal Saltara or that scary thing at Madame Tussauds, which was Scream, unfortunately, now gone as well. And mine, 2009, was Saw Alive. And again, it wasn't at Halloween, because I wouldn't have had... I was scared of my own shadow, basically. Absolutely terrified. Casper the Friendly Ghost could fuck off. Do you know what I mean? That's how scared I was of paranormal and all that sort of stuff. Well, still am a little bit.
Well, I think that's how everyone started, though. Everyone was scared of Casper. The little bastard.
Yeah. Bastard Casper. But yeah, I think a lot of people, they do fall on it. It's a bit like roller coasters. A lot of people who are enthusiastic about roller coasters were actually scared of them to start with. And I was the same with scare mazes. And again, I think a lot of people get into it in a similar way, especially people who are so passionate about it like us.
Yeah.
But yes, Thorpe Park, Saw Alive, I was so gutted when they stopped it being a seasonal attraction. Apparently it was due to cost.
Right.
They said that they could run, don't quote me on this, but I think it was Stealth, Nemesis Inferno, and Swarm. They could run those rides cheaper altogether than it would cost to man Saw.
I don't care, though.
Yeah, we don't care.
We don't care. Which, to me, is it seems a bit insane, because obviously I know you'd need so many ride ops per ride. And then obviously on peak days as well, you'll need someone manning the gate where there's fast tracks, and you'll need someone on baggage holds, etc. So to me, I'm not too sure how that works. But obviously it was a cost cutting thing. The queues weren't there for Saw.
No.
But it makes me wonder why we're sort of diverting slightly now, but we'll get back on topic in a second. It makes me wonder why when they closed Saw at Thorpe Park, which is a actor led attraction, that 2 years later they open I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which, as we all know, is an actor-led attraction.
I think maybe they were aiming more for the family market, thinking that, you know, not a lot of people will want to go and get scared on a summer's afternoon. They'll want to go and have family fun, putting their hands in boxes and things.
That's a good point, yeah. And I know that Thought Park are trying to go slightly more family friendly. They were dubbed as the nation's thrill capital. They're now more family friendly, with obviously the introduction of Angry Birds Land. But again, that was a re-theme of Destinator, which is a drop tower, which isn't really family friendly. No. Bumper cars, which they are supposed, and then a 4D cinema. And then the year after, they introduced Darren Brown's Ghost Train, which is for 13 pluses. So it's hard to see what sort of direction they go. And again, Darren Brown's Ghost Train, although I hear it's absolutely amazing, uses live actors as well.
Yeah.
Now, we know what happened at Subterra at Orton Towers. Those live actors lasted 2 seasons. And now the ride is completely closed. I don't think that will happen at Thought Park.
Hopefully
at all.
Not.
Obviously, Darren Brown's Ghost Train is supposed to be the most expensive investment Merlin attractions have ever spent. So
more than
Swarm. It's supposed to be the most expensive thing. Ooh. But anyway, let's get back onto
on topic.
Back
you're geeking. On you're topic. Geeking, Mikey.
I am. I'm geeking.
So
it's my outlet.
Let's
to geek.
Go on to Scare Kingdom. So Scare Kingdom is obviously a huge Halloween. It's a huge leader in the Halloween industry, and they create obviously off-season attractions for things like Valentine's Day, Christmas, and summer. Have you guys? I think you've guys experienced all of these attractions that they have.
We've done all of them apart from what they sort of do over summer, which used to be Horror Camp Live.
Yeah, they used to do Horror Camp Live, which was sleepover.
Yeah, so we haven't done those, but we've done. They did a Valentine's one a couple of years back. I'm not very good with dates. A couple of years back.
We visited two of the Halloween attractions, Valentine's attractions. We couldn't visit last year because unfortunately there was flooding. So we couldn't visit, but yeah, we've done, I think, 2 years of Valentine's attractions. I think 3 years of Christmas.
I think so.
Two or three as well. Yeah. And then obviously summer they do Horror Camp Live.
Yeah, because Scare Kingdom was the only place this year that managed to actually do their Christmas event, because everyone else had to cancel.
Everyone else unfortunately had to cancel because of the bad weather.
So for someone like myself who didn't manage to get up to these events, was it just one attraction that was open that you went through, or did they have the full screen park open? That's what I kind of think.
So what they've predominantly done pretty much all 3 years is it's Manor Mortis, which is obviously the massive building that they've built, and it's got all that fantastic theming, and they make it a bit Christmassy, put a sort of festive storyline in it. And then after you've come out of that, normally what would happen is you'd have the choice to go into Psychomantium or not, but obviously Psychomantium's not there anymore. Was Psychomantium there this Christmas?
Yes, it was its last incarnation this Christmas.
Because I didn't get a chance to go.
No. But yeah, Scare Kingdom are great, especially when it comes to out-of-season scares. They're not an attraction that run all year round, like Passage del Terror. I know they open most weekends. How Saw used to be, Scream used to be, and obviously the Dungeons and London Tombs. But they run seasonal events, not just one season like Halloween, like you mentioned, Sean, seasonal. So every event they sort of can do an event, they will. And utilise their what is classed as a permanent scare attraction in Manor Mortis, and they retheme it. And Manor Mortis, if anyone hasn't been able to visit it. The theming in that attraction is stunning, absolutely stunning. There's only few attractions to me that are either close on par or beat it. A few at Farmageddon, Subspecies last year, quite a few of them at Extreme Scream Park at Twin Lakes, but there's very few that can sort of get up to Manor Mortis standard, really. But yeah, Manor Mortis has proved fantastic for us when it comes to out-of-season scares, and Scare Kingdom's less than an hour away from us now, so it's always been perfect to visit those attractions. Sean, what other sort of out-of-season scare attractions would you say you've visited? Obviously, it's Saw Passage...
I think
Dungeons.
We need to take a moment here just to remember Scream at Madame Tussauds.
Yes, I agree. I miss Scream.
Yeah, me too. It was one of those things that I would go to. Obviously, I had a Merlin pass, so when I was in London and having a London day, we would obviously do London Dungeons, the London Eye, and then go over to Madame Two Swords. And I'd be like, get me in Scream. That's where I belong, like, with all the other dead things in the world. and so I was gutted when they took that out. I was really...
Yeah, me too.
I think there was a lot of people that didn't like the decision to take that out.
No, I agree. I think it was perfect. It wasn't too long. It wasn't too intense. It was a perfect little taster.
Yeah.
Scare attraction.
Yeah, so for those...
It got a lot of people into it.
Yeah, for those that don't know what we're talking about, basically Scream was like a side attraction, but during the walkthrough of Madame Two Swords. So I don't know if anyone's been to Madame Two Swords, but obviously it's kind of free-flowing and you walk along and you go through... You see different, obviously, actors and... Waxworks.
Like waxworks, yeah.
And then you get to a section where it's kind of a like I said, sideline attraction, and you can go through it. It's optional. But it was kind of... It was called Scream. But what was the theme inside? I can't remember the theme. It was just general...
Murderers.
I think it was... to me, it looked like a bit like murderous mental asylum-y kind of thing. And that... That might be part of the reason they got rid of it. I know they had to get rid of the asylum at Thorpe Park, and
yeah.
Primeval had to get rid of their asylum-themed maze because of this uproar against, you know, mental institutes and all that palaver. So that could have maybe had something to do with it, to be honest.
I want to say it was kind of like old-time London Victoria, kind of.
Yeah.
I know, like, it had cobbles. I want to say it had, like, cobbles flooring.
I think it did at some points, didn't it?
I'm not sure. But anyway, like I said, it was a side attraction, and you literally, it was not even 15 minutes long, but you walked through, and it was just kind of the highlight at Madame Two Swords for me, because it was, like I said, it was an all-year-round scare attraction.
Yeah, Hannah's looking at me with a bit of a funny face here. What's up?
I wasn't a fan.
Why?
But why is that?
It's just I just personally found it boring.
It wasn't the most intense attraction, but it was like... But
maybe that's with... Like, I have an issue with London attractions in the fact that I always find they're too busy and we're too rushed.
I guess.
I'm always getting pushed around so I don't get to see everything. I like to take my time. I don't get given that choice, and that's probably why I didn't like it, because it's just people trying to just bomb it through that I just got swept up in the crowd. Because I think it was only two or three times that I actually went through it. But I wasn't going to... Say my opinion, but
well,
thanks for that.
Well, no, me and Mikey are now going to boo you. Boo.
Yeah, boo. So, moving on with that out-of-season scares, I want to get on to our independents. But before we get on to our independent groups, such as PUP, Twisted Attractions, etc., we need to talk a little bit about escape games. Obviously, Twisted Attractions ran a hour-long 10-room escape game last year called Panic in Birmingham, which was absolutely amazing. I loved it. And escape games have been popping up left, right and centre. One's opened opposite where we live. And I know there's been plenty coming up over the country. And I know, again, to our American listeners, I think America's already fed up of them because there's just so many opening everywhere. But... What do we think of them? Now, I've only done the one, which was Panic. I absolutely loved it because it was Twisted Attractions, and I don't think I've disliked anything they've done. Sean, you did Hell in a Cell, is that right?
Yeah, I have been lucky enough to do two. So I done Hell in a Cell, and I also went down to London and took part in, I want to, it was Lady Chastity's something.
Oh, I remember. Yes. Oh, I can't remember what it was called now.
I will. I'm trying to get it up. Bear with
easy.
Me.
It's a family show. It's a family show.
All right, calm down. Lady.
It's not.
Hey up, duck.
Hey up.
Oh, Lady. Lady Chastity's Reserve.
Oh, okay.
That was what it was.
And what
called.
Was that like? Was that like horror themed as well?
It was kind of. I want to say. I'm just going to give a general idea. It was. Like a haunted mansion type style escape room. It was a room which you went into, which was decked out to look like a manor house, and it was like a dining room. So it had like a table that you could put all your clues on. It had like the old photographs. It had bookcases. But what was unique about this escape game was it was just a single room, but you actually had to push through different objects. So, for example, I think the bookcase moved and you could actually walk into the bookcase to go down a couple of steps to get another clue.
That's cool.
So, to me, that was kind of like a... You know, like how you see all these movies where like there's hidden doors and all that kind of stuff. It was like that. So it was like a haunted house type escape game.
I like that. I like with these escape games. These escape games also, like you mentioned, with like those trap doors and stuff.
Yeah,
they have to have really good theming because you're in that room for a long time until you escape. Basically, it's not like a horror maze where, oh, we can fill this one with black sheets,
yes,
or white sheets,
yeah, yeah,
or black wall. Like the theming needs to be great. And again, because it's not just a quick 5-10 minute walkthrough, it's you're there for however long the game is until you escape. You're getting, I think, value for money and a good immersive experience when these games are done well.
Yeah, I think it's Lady Chastity's Reserve is actually based in London at the Four Thieves, and also down in Brighton, which is local to me. And so I think they do have a couple of escape games elsewhere, but they actually only last an hour and there's kind of a countdown. And obviously I won't give the game away, but like in a normal escape game, you have to find clues to open something that opens something. So that's what it was about.
Yeah, it was similar to our Panic. You had to figure out a game or puzzle or a task. A bit. Imagine, I think I described it as Crystal Maze and
on acid.
Saw's Love Child. Yeah. So that's it. So escape games, again, something that's really helping the UK when it comes to scare attractions out of season.
And they are just popping up everywhere at the minute.
They are. I think there's a company that is called Escape Room or Escape Game. That they're the same company as Laser Quest because they're popping up at all the same places. So I know that's where the one that we are going to visit soon is with Laser Quest. So moving on to our sort of final section of our out of season scares, and again, like I say, if anyone has any input, please just message us either on our Facebook page or on our email. We'll be able to give you the details of that in our listener feedback section. But what helps the UK, I think, compared to any other country, is our independent team. So people like PUP, Primrose Unknown Projects, they've created Kane, Who Am I, Evac. They were part of the team for Cracked. You know, I did Cracked a few months ago. That was out of season. We've also had Twisted Attractions, which pop up, you know, in summer and Christmas and Halloween as well. People like G&G, Gavin and Gary, they run, I think we went to their H311 Hell, which was in the middle of June, like random, June? I'm not too sure, but
Project
I know
Fear?
It's Project Fear, I think was in May. So the obviously these theme parks that go out to the masses still kind of stick to scare attractions only at Halloween. Then you have sort of the farmyards that may do a little bit here at Christmas, may do a Valentine's. And then you have the independents, which go all out and do multiple things, you
keep
know.
Keep us entertained
throughout the year, absolutely. So we've been lucky to visit PUP, Twisted, G&G. Sean, have you managed to visit any of these out-season scares?
I have done a couple, like you said. I went to do Kane, Who I Am I. That was amazing. That was really good.
It was really good.
It was set in a museum. The location was in a museum. And basically, the museum is actually haunted by a ghost called Kane. And so the creators of that, Lee and Sarah from PUP, they done some research on Kane. He actually had a prison cell within.
Yeah, that's a scary prison cell.
It is. And obviously, I'm not sure if it's going to come back, but basically, at the end, we all got locked in the prison cell. I know I got locked in the prison cell.
Yeah, I did.
And there was an actor in there who was Kane. And it was quite terrifying.
I'll tell you what was even scarier. I don't know if it happened to you, but sometimes when you know these attraction owners, they just pick on you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
What was even worse for me was I went through a second time and I was locked in the cell in the pitch black without an actor. Now that that was even scarier, because like I say, scare attractions I enjoy because I know they pretend, I know it's actors jumping out at me, blah 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 blah, that kind of thing. But when you go in
Hotel Transylvania
I do not say blah blah blah.
Yeah. Sorry. I love that. Good film. I really want to watch the second one though.
Yeah, it's really good. No, it is really good. Okay. Anyway, moving on. We were put in the cell. By the way, they split you up in your group, so you went all alone, and I was in that apparently haunted cell, freezing cold, all by myself, and I was terrified.
Didn't they steal your shoe?
Yeah, stole my shoe as well.
Ah, oh, bless you. Do you know what? I was just listening to what you were saying about how they stole your shoe and all that kind of stuff, and I know, yes, we did know the owners of the attraction, so they probably did pick us on a bit more, but I feel like the Americans, they don't get this unless they go to like an extreme scare attraction, whereas our attractions are very much, I feel like it's more, I don't want to say forceful, but more in your face.
Maybe. I think some of them, I think it depends where you go.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think you're right, because I've only ever experienced Halloween Horror Nights, which
of course,
is,
yeah,
like I said, reset. One after another, reset kind of thing.
I know in America, I mean, I've seen there's a few that I know of in America. Obviously, McCamey Manor is the most intense thing in this world. So obviously, you'd have to rule that bit out. And again, that's out of season. So in America, McCamey Manor out of season. I know there's like Blackout, Haunted Hoochie. I know Haunted Hotel. In Louisville, Kentucky, it's intense. My friend Jared at the Return of the Living podcast actually works there. That's a very, very intense maze. It does depend where you go, because you'll think of America, you'll think of Halloween Horror Nights. Americans of England who have visited the scare attraction may only think of the London Dungeons, because it's obviously a huge tourist place. So I think, yeah, you can get anything anywhere, I guess, and it's all different. So, after our discussion there, I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to listen to our audio, that we recorded from Twisted Attractions Terror Park. This was recorded about a week or two ago, so just the end of June, and we managed to experience Dr. Hades Fear Theatre and their clown maze Colorophobia. Hello everyone, it's Mikey here. I'm here with Hannah. Unfortunately, Sean couldn't be with us today, but we got our good old brother-in-law, Martin Page from Escape Entertainment, filling his boots today. They're big boots to fill. Do you think you'll be ready for it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Just about. Now, if anyone doesn't know Martin, you may have seen him on our live videos last year throughout October when we went to Toon Lakes Extreme Scream Park, but he's also worked for Escape Entertainment. Also, you've worked here at Twisted, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, Martin, you can't get him to shut up. You just can't get him to shut up. So we are giving an on-location episode today. We are here, like I said, at Twisted Attractions, which is in Birmingham in the West Midlands. If you haven't been, get here. They're awesome. They're their second year of their new massive unit outside now. We've been to all their mazes. They've had the morgue facility, Ward 78, House of Insomnia, Panic, which was an amazing 1-hour, 10-room escape game, which we visited last year. And also we came to Hellfest last year, where they had four attractions throughout the whole October run. This show, like we mentioned when we were back in the studio, is all about sort of out-of-season scares and how much we love out-of-season scares. So we thought it'd be perfect to try one first-hand today with Colorophobia, which is their sort of clown-themed scare maze, which we're going to go through. We'll give you a bit of audio from that as well. And we've got Dr. Hades Fear Theatre. So, Hannah, are you looking forward to it?
I'm so excited. I love everything that Twisted Attractions throw at us. Year on year, they always surprise me and do new things, a bit different, bit out of the box. And it's always just great to do a scare maze, not in Halloween. Rocking my October boots today because it's raining, so I feel like I'm in the Halloween spirit.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like Halloween, especially with being back at Twisted Attractions, which we loved last year. I visited two or three times, and we all got to act for the guys as well, which was really fun. So it's good to be here. It's a little bit overcast, a little bit chilly, and it's raining, so it does feel like an October Halloween night. We'll pause for now, and we will give you some audio of our first attraction, which will be Coulrophobia. And we'll see you in a little bit. Bye.
Bye.
Come roll up for the spectacular Coulrophobia. You may encounter some clowns, some freaks, and some creatures. Welcome to the circus. Hope you enjoy all the clowns in here. Hello.
It's black, I literally can't see a thing now. Martin's holding me very tight. Back into a very, very strobey room, and I cannot see anything. Oh my god! The smoke is so thick. And there's like bluey strobes, which work really well. Jeez! We tried to get Hannah, but we decided to leave her in there. If anyone who listens to the show, Hannah, no, Hannah's running out very fast. We all know she doesn't like chainsaws. Wow. You enjoy that, guys?
Yes.
I feel like I need to speak to the person who's almost in the fetal position. We went through as a group of five with a young girl and a young gentleman who's looking like he's about to pass out. What's your name, sir? What's your name?
Dan.
Dan? Have you pooed yourself, Dan?
I want to cry, but I didn't.
You enjoy it, though?
No.
Did you enjoy it?
No.
Right, okay. But we did. I think that was the point, though, to scare them shitless, and it seemed to work. That was Coulrophobia, and wow, that was really enjoyable. It uses the same sort of facade that Panic did last year, but obviously they've repainted it, and it felt so much longer than like Panic Unlocked did, didn't it?
Yeah.
It felt like that I was getting lost. They used rooms where you'd have to go around again and again. Really dark. I really enjoyed it. Hannah, you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's really effective use of the space. They used UV paint, obviously, because it's a clown maze, but they used it really, really well. They had fancy lighting effects, smoke. No, really impressed with that one. Really.
Yeah, it's awesome.
This is Dr. Hades.
And Madame Proserpine.
And you're listening to
Scare Track.
Okay, so we've just been through Coulrophobia. We're now in the brand new for 2016 Dr. Hades Fear Theatre. We have just taken our seats in our pews, and this is looking really impressive. I'm really excited. I don't think I've ever been in anything like this before. I've been in sort of 3D, 4D cinemas, but I'm not quite sure what a Fear Theatre is. I'm looking round. And people look very nervous. So, yeah, we'll record the audio and we'll give you guys just a little teaser and we'll chat to everyone afterwards.
Fear of snakes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a good example of this. Unfortunately, the snake-shaped skin...
I'm going to be sick, don't.
Closer look, sir. The snake shedding skin earlier today. We have the skin. We've misplaced the snake. Have you found him? Cyril, he's...
Ladies and gentlemen, I like the dark because you never quite know what may happen.
Come, child, you are amongst friends. There is nothing to fear with us. Come, child, talk! Oh, it's lovely to hear you! Thank you! Oh, it was a violent death! Child, you are
So, guys, we just came out of Dr. Hades Fear Theatre, and all I can say is, wow, it was awesome. I don't want to tell you anything that happened in there because it would ruin it for you. You obviously just heard a few sneak peeks of the dialogue, but I'm really reluctant to let you to listen to any of it, really, because that was just so awesome. It was original, so original. I haven't seen anything like that. Obviously, I've seen snippets from other places. Like, again, I don't want to tell much, but I've seen snippets of little things that they've used. But as an overall concept, design, attraction, that was really... I really enjoyed it. Hannah, what did you think?
I absolutely loved it. I don't think I've seen anything like it ever before. It was so unique.
Oh my God, I nearly...
And, someone's falling over. That seat's really wet.
I know, but I need to sit down.
Someone needs to sit down. It scared him that much.
So yeah, I just thought it was really, really unique. And as an avid Twisted Attractions fan and a bit of a geek, really, I thought it was really nice to see... them reusing bits from old sort of scenes that we've seen before. So they're using props and set pieces, but in a whole different way. So if you haven't been through that attraction probably four or five times or worked in it like I have, you'd have absolutely no idea. But I just think that it was so creative. And it was so good.
It was really good. And like I say, if you haven't been through it yet, they're running for, I think it's nearly, not every weekend, but alternate weekends up until their Halloween run when the Hellfest returns.
Check the website.
Yeah, check the website, Twisted Attractions. Martin, you were picked on a couple of times. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was great. It was not like anything I've ever done before. It was, as you guys said, unique. And yeah, it was just crazy.
It was crazy. I really didn't know what to expect. As you may hear from a bit of the audio, I don't panic much. And there were certain times in there where I really, really panicked. And this is coming from me and Hannah, who have been through 300-plus attractions in the last few years. Martin's been through his fair share of attractions with us as well now. And all three of us just came out with just beaming smiles on our face because it was really, really that impressive. Like I say, I don't want to give too much away. You guys really need to get down here and try out Dr. Hades Fear Theatre, along with, obviously, Coulophobia as well, which was an awesome clown maze, which just sort of... It sets the scene, doesn't it? It gets you ready for the main attraction. It's like a starter, and Dr. Hades is the main attraction. So, yeah, definitely get yourselves over it. We're going to try and have a chat with the creators in a little bit. So we'll catch up with them then. Bye-bye. Hello, Scare Trap fans. We are still here at Twisted Attractions Terror Park in Birmingham. And like we've said throughout this show is dedicated to... out-of-season scares, and Twisted Attractions definitely deliver when it comes to out-of-season scares. Obviously, a couple of years ago with the facility, then last year we had Panic, the hour-long 10-room escape game, which was epic, and now we're back again this year with Coulophobia and Dr. Hades Fear Theatre. So I'm here with James and Matthew, the two creators, the two minds amongst the massive team here that they've got at Twisted Attractions. Guys, how's it going?
Massive team.
Well,
that'd be lovely. What we do have a massive team of actors, massive team of builders. Not so much. It's it's all going very well, thank you.
I'm just trying to say that obviously you guys it comes from your mind, you build it, but you've got a nice little handful of friends.
We do have a handful of friends. We have our two tech guys who do the intricate workings of making scenes come alive, and of course we have our fantastic managers Tracy, Paul, but the actual builders, that's basically me and you, isn't it, Matthew?
It is us, it is I and you and I that build and design.
Next question.
And creating quite a stir in the scare attraction industry. I know that a lot of people have been coming to visit you. I know our friend Sean from Theme Park Worldwide. And all I've seen over the last few weekends is people tagging Twisted Attractions, Dr. Hades Fear Theatre, Coulophobia. You opened up during Pride with Coulophobia. Now you're open with the Fear Theatre as well. We said it a little bit before, I don't want to give absolutely anything away, especially about the Fear Theatre, because it was mind-blowing to me. We absolutely loved it. So without giving our listeners anything away, because I want them up here and I want them to go through it, where did it come from? Well, it was a very original design. It's something brand new from you guys, something that I've never seen before in hundreds of scare attractions around the UK and Europe. where did the idea come from? How did it progress? And you know, how happy are you with the outcome? Matthew's pointing at his head here.
That's exactly where it came from. My head. But that's literally where it comes from. But if I tell you anymore, it'll give it all away, won't it?
I think there are other attractions in the UK which incorporate this idea. However, it's only small little snippets that they do. So we wanted to create a much longer experience using that technique and possibly delving more into the ideas of this technique and what you can do with it and playing with it. And so bear in mind what it's called, but it's not quite that. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah, after going through that.
I hope it makes it more confusing.
It explains it a bit, but then we know what it is.
Yeah, yeah, because I know what it is. Yeah,
I love the fact that everyone has gone to it so far, but I, you know, are horror fans. I do that with inverted commas because you can't see what I'm doing right now.
Playing with himself.
I like the fact that even though they know what it's called, Dr. Hades Fear Theatre, they still don't quite know what they're walking into.
Like, we get it all the time. Guys have come down and message us all. We go through both of your mazes. I'm like, I've got one maze, Chorophobia, and I've got a Fear Theatre. And they're like, yeah, that's a maze as well. No.
I think
that's
I even
where it
said that myself.
It's definitely not a maze.
There's two new mazes.
No,
it's a full show.
I think
it's not too much, and if it is, because we decide afterwards you can cut it out, I don't think it's too much to say that there is a stage and there is an auditorium.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
We'll keep
that
in.
That literally is as much as I'm going to give away.
Yeah, that's as much as I only
it's
want
the only
to
way
give
you're
going to
find out is to come and try it.
Yeah, definitely come and try it. And speaking of coming to try it, how can people get tickets? Where are you? Are you on social media, etc., etc.? Plug yourselves now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah. Well, we are here in Birmingham with you, Mikey.
Yes.
Oh, you want to know where we are, don't you?
Yeah.
Birmingham City Centre on Hurst Street. Easiest way is the website. It's brand new, put my teeth in. It's brand new as well. Thank you, Mark. It is brand new website.
www.twistedattractions.co.uk.
Fantastic. It's like you've rehearsed that. Brilliant.
We didn't. No.
There's a look in the eyes. You just
look in the eyes. Just knew it was coming.
Yeah.
There you go, then, guys. Twistedattractions.co.uk. Get your tickets now. And you're running, is it alternate weekends up until October?
It's every couple of weekends up to September. And then obviously we open back for Hellfest.
Hello, Scaretrack fans. So, we are in the surroundings of Dr. Hades Fear Theatre, and I have stumbled across two quite unusual people. Let's call them people. Can you introduce yourself to the podcast, please?
More pressing matter. Why are you shoving a rat in my face? What is this thing? Why are there lights on it? What does it do?
This is Don King. It's recording you.
I believe it's one of those modern telephonic devices, Doctor.
Modern telephonic device. How marvellous.
Yeah.
I am Dr. Hades.
I am his assistant, Madame Proserpine.
And this is your fear theatre.
This is my theatre. She merely assists.
Assists. And do you enjoy assisting the Doctor?
How could I not take one look at this dashing individual? People queue round the block to see him in person.
Is that right, Doctor?
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It is.
It's marvellous.
Do you tie them to your little chair?
Do I tie them to my chair? No, but I do like experimenting on them every now and again. It does thrill me so.
It does. I don't think it would thrill me if I was experimenting on your chair.
I believe you have a fear of snakes.
Yeah, I'm getting over. I'm slowly getting over it.
Otherwise, very slowly, I would say, sir.
Yeah. The fear of snakes, of course, is known as
Ophidiophobia, Doctor.
Ophidiophobia. Isn't that marvellous? You reacted quite negatively to the fact that one of our snakes had escaped, I believe.
Yeah, that startled me quite a bit.
I've never heard a grown man scream so much.
The retching was quite off-putting, Doctor, wasn't it?
Retching. I almost had to go and get a bucket. In fact, my large box with a large hole, I thought I was going to have to use that for a second time in this evening's performance.
Well, luckily, Hannah got to use that box. Did that scare you quite a little bit? Obviously, don't tell the listeners what exactly happened, but you looked... I haven't seen you that scared in a long time.
I think it was just unnerving, because obviously it was a... I don't know if I want to give it away, but it was a certain phobia, which I don't have, but it was a...
Maybe you do now.
Unnerving, well, maybe now, yeah. It was unnerving, and I didn't like it, but did like it at the same time.
Oh, Hannah, you're so complex, dear.
I'm a woman.
Yeah, yes. True, true. So you do like your phobias, and you like your facts. How
How educated would you say you are, Doctor, with all your facts on phobias?
I'd like to say incredibly, but I feel like you might test me. I do like to be tested. Would you like to know how this theatre originated?
Yes, please.
Have you ever heard of a fine chap called Antonin Artaud?
He's actually my favourite practitioner.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Marvellous. Could you tell me what he is most renowned for?
I would probably say his Theatre of Cruelty.
Theatre of Cruelty, yes. He is a fantastic inspiration to us for our little theatre here. Not so much the contents, but more so the way in which we have set our audience, and the environment we have put them into. It's rather marvellous. If anyone wants to have a better idea of what it is we do here at Dr. Hades Fear Theatre, perhaps use that fantastic thing called Google. And learn a little more.
Absolutely. And whilst you're on Google, type in Twisted Attractions and come and visit the Fear Theatre. We've said it all night, haven't we, Hannah, that you really need to get out here. So, Doctor and his beautiful psychic.
Madam Penelope.
Proserpine, Doctor.
Priscilla.
Have you got any final words you'd like to give to all our listeners? So are these our listeners who potentially you may meet one day?
I do like having more people to experiment on. Do come and visit us. Book a ticket, in fact. www.twistedattractions.co.uk.
Aidan Foxall has wrote on our Facebook page. He says, proud to say I worked as a scare actor and love my Twisted family. Well, Aidan, you guys should be proud. We were all very impressed. I heard some great things from Mikey and Hannah. And I know, obviously, Mikey and Hannah are massive fans of you guys.
Absolutely, it was great. We've also had Howard Kynes. He's contacted us all the way from over in America, one of our American listeners, saying, just wanted to say I'm working through the podcast and loving it. It's great to hear how things are going on your side of the pond. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you very much, Howard. We're glad you enjoy the show, and we hope you enjoy this one as well.
Gary Crompton has messaged us saying, just listen to the latest episode with Brett Jones, and just wanted to say, Mikey, you are by far the best looking man in podcasting. Keep up the good work, you crazy cats. Much love, Gaz from GNG. Thank you very much, Gary. He does have a face for radio, though.
Awesome. Thanks, Gary. You're nicer than my actual own missus is there. So, Mississippi. So thanks, buddy. Can't wait to see your next attraction with G&G. That's it for listener feedback. However, I've just received a message whilst recording, actually, from Lucy A. Hadley. She's also an American listener. She lives in Stanford in Washington. Have you ever heard of Heritage Haunted House out here in the States? I heard someone from the show bragging about going to the UK and taking over. I'm not sure. That might be another attraction that's sort of combining the UK and the USA. I'm not sure. I don't think I've heard of that one, so we'll have to do
what
some
was
research.
It called again?
Heretic Haunted House.
Oh, okay. Who knows? Maybe there's something going on.
I'm not too sure. I know because
watch this space.
Yeah, watch this space. I'll have to have a speak to Lucy Allen. But Lucy, thank you for messaging the
thank
show.
You,
really
Lucy.
Appreciate it. It might be another collaboration. Obviously, we know that Atmosphere Scare Entertainment and Russ McCamey from McCamey Manor are recently teaming up to present Snuff House After Dark. So
an out-of-season scare.
Another out-of-season scare attraction. So it's worth, it's worth watching that space. Thank you very much.
And there we go for another month of listener feedback. Thank you to everyone who's got in touch. And I was just saying before we came on the air, we're not a radio station, we're a podcast. I was just saying to Mikey and Hannah before we came on to record that we should get, we should bring back That Will Never Work.
So yeah, if, sounds good.
If you have any suggestions, these are objects that we are going to try and turn into a haunted house. So, for example, I think we had toilet paper once.
Yeah, I think we have rubber ducks, Furbies.
And obviously, bacon frazzles.
Oh, the famous bacon frazzles.
So we are going to bring that back next month. So if you have any suggestions, please get in touch.
I'm dead excited about this because I haven't done one yet.
Yay.
If you would like to get in touch, you can send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/scaretrack or email the studio by emailing scaretrack@gmail.com. Make sure you continue to comment on our Facebook posts too.
Music for the show is provided by Sam Haynes of hauntmusic.co.uk with additional music by Incompetech and freesfx.co.uk. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you once again for listening. And Sean, thank you for joining me.
Ah, thank you, Mikey, for having me. And Hannah, thank you as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
I love you, Sean.
I love you guys so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you, guys. We really do hope you enjoyed listening to our show about out-of-season scares. Like I say, if you have got anything you'd like to say, let us know. And again, our American listeners. I know we've actually got listeners in Australia, France, Belgium, and Germany as well. So if you're any of our listeners out there, if your Halloween is like different to ours, or if your out-of-season scares match ours or even better than ours or not as good as ours, just let us know, see where the world stands on out of season scares. But without further ado, it's time to call it a night and say goodbye. So we'll see you next month.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.